Jimmy Lai, what they're doing with him is they're letting everybody know that we will go after somebody, no matter who they are, no matter what position in society they have. We are going to come and we are going to use this national security law against Jimmy. The day they decide that they're really getting rid of Apple Daily is also the day they've decided that they're getting rid of Hong Kong as a financial center. Can't have both. You can't have repression of a free press and a financial center. Pope is sitting in the Vatican, keeping completely silent on a genocide that is taking place against the Uyghurs. It is going to be a black mark against the church for 1,000 years. I've seen it over and over again. Cardinal Zinn tells them something's going to happen. Other loyal church followers tell them something negative is going to happen in China. They completely ignore it. Francis has completely let people down. Everybody suffers. The evangelical house churches suffer. Of course, the Uyghurs are suffering. All religions suffer when the main religion basically packs it in. Huawei's 15% cheaper than Ericsson. What does that mean to somebody in Poland's daily bill? A dollar less a month per person? So you're going to sell your security, you're going to sell your entire nation out to save everybody a U.S. dollar per month by using Huawei? Is it really worth it in your lives for a dollar a month to basically be doing business with a bunch of Chinese communist toadies who are probably stealing your information?
Hello, dear viewers. This is Ivan Belostenko for Against It ITV, Ichpod Prond from Poland. We welcome you in our new studio, and our guest today is Mark Simon, the group director of Next Media and a colleague and a friend of Jimmy Lai for over 20 years. Thank you for being with us, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
What do you think the arrest of Jimmy Lai is spelling for the situation in Hong Kong? And what do you expect might happen to Mr. Lai following the arrest?
The arrest signals a continuation of the regression of rights in Hong Kong. In other words, a lot of people see the rights as being pushed down by the Communist Party. I view it another way. I view that them being pulled down the drain. In other words, what they're doing is they're pulling everybody down to the same low level of a lack of basic freedoms. Jimmy Lai, what they're doing with him is they're letting everybody know that we will go after somebody, no matter who they are, no matter what position in society they have. We are going to come and we are going to use this national security law against Jimmy. More troubling is they used it against basically my coworkers and my friends, who certainly by any even far out view of national security had nothing to do with the national security. For example, an administration manager, or in fact, Jimmy's sons. What they're telling people is that essentially the Chinese Communist Party is in charge, and guess what? They're playing by China rules. In other words, they just brought the rules of China and how they do things, charging family, charging friends, to Hong Kong. As for Jimmy, Jimmy's going to be on trial this week for a variety of different charges. They've got a whole slate of charges against him for civil disobedience. He is yet to be charged with national security. I'm sure that's coming. My expectation is that my boss will probably end up in jail one way or the other in Hong Kong. I think they'll try to keep him in Hong Kong for a while.
And what do you think might happen to Apple Daily and the free media in general in Hong Kong? Is this the end of free speech?
I don't think it's the end of free speech yet, but it's certainly a major blow to free speech. In other words, there's really not going to be anybody else who's going to stick their head above water at this point in time. Apple Daily will continue, and Next Media will continue to write what we write, and will continue to move forward. What happens, happens. In other words, we've kind of resigned ourselves to that. But Hong Kong is an international financial center, and information is the lifeblood of any city, but more importantly, the information is lifeblood, and it's everything for a financial center. If you would pull down Apple Daily for what is essentially just disagreeing with the government, you've really struck a blow against Hong Kong as a financial center. So to me, the day they decide that they're really getting rid of Apple Daily is also the day they've decided that they're getting rid of Hong Kong as a financial center. Can't have both. You can't have repression of a free press and a financial center. Doesn't work.
And what about yourself, Mark? If you happen to find yourself in Hong Kong right now, what would have happened to you? Would you get arrested?
Oh, I certainly would have been arrested. All the other gentlemen at Next Media who were arrested basically report to me, in other words, with the exception of one. Basically, all the projects they're talking about, everything they're saying is Mark Simon. I'm fine with that. I happen to be out of the country, out of Hong Kong, because I was in Taiwan, where most of our business operations are. And also, COVID is a big problem. In other words, it's 14-day quarantines all over the place were difficult. But more importantly, we knew that they were taking action. And so I basically made the decision on my own to basically make sure that I was somewhat insulated so I can keep running the business. That's my primary goal in life. I don't have the ego to think that Mark Simon's all that important, to be honest with you. But it is very disappointing that instead of me, they picked up others and they're trying to persecute those others when in fact I'm the decision maker in everything.
Let's switch to the Vatican and Cardinal Zen. We know he's an inspiring critic of the Vatican-China deal. What are your thoughts on this situation, and what do you expect? Would you expect more arrests in Hong Kong? What do you think might happen to Cardinal Zen or others?
I think they'd be reluctant to arrest Cardinal Zen. I know quite a bit about the deal. I've been involved for maybe 15 years working on Vatican-China relations. Unfortunately, Pope Benedict was fantastic. Francis is not. Francis is basically, as Cardinal Zen once said, Pope Francis sees the communist the same way he used to see the communist as a boy or a young man in Argentina. He sees them as a liberating force. He sees them as something else. And now he's been trapped by the Vatican bureaucracy, willingly trapped, I should say. In other words, let's not let him off the hook. And essentially, he's got this deal with China that, every time you cut a deal with the communist, it just doesn't work. And so what's happened now is that they thought they were going to get all these great things. Hong Kong happened. The Uyghurs have happened. So we essentially have a pope who, quite frankly, as horrible as it sounds to say, is the same situation without the pressure. In other words, he's not even like Pius, who's sitting in Italy with German troops on the outside of the Vatican. The Pope is sitting in the Vatican, keeping completely silent on a genocide that is taking place against the Uyghurs. It is going to be a black mark against the church for 1,000 years, and this Pope is doing it. I know we're in Poland. You gave us JP2, who we love so much. I can't believe that JP2 is not looking down from on high with his head in his hand, believing that someone who sits in his seat is doing what Francis is doing. I can't tell you the duplicity with the way the Vatican deals with this. And I've seen it firsthand. I've seen it over and over again. Cardinal Zen tells them something's going to happen. Other loyal church followers tell them something negative is going to happen in China. They completely ignore it. It is Francis has completely let people down. And because of that, because the church is probably the most formally strong group in China, everybody suffers. The evangelical house churches suffer. Of course, the Uyghurs are suffering. All religions suffer when the main religion basically packs it in. And what I mean by packs it in is Pope Francis and his Secretary of State, Parolin, are literally compradors of the mainland Chinese. I can't tell you what they've done. Also, by the way, just so everybody knows, the Vatican-China deal does include Hong Kong, absolutely, which is why the Hong Kong Catholic Church has essentially, as much as could be possible, they've endorsed the national security law. It's a really tough time for Catholics in Hong Kong right now. We're having a very, very difficult time. My people are. You have to remember, I think of myself as a resident of Hong Kong. I go back and forth to the States, but I lived in Hong Kong.
Let's switch to the European Union. They urged respect for human rights and freedom in Hong Kong after the arrest of Jimmy Lai. It seems like quite a poor response on the side of Merkel and other EU leaders to actions taken now by the CCP. What do you think about the stance of the European Union?
I think the fact of the matter is that there's not an understanding of truly how really evil the CCP can be. And in other words, the devil doesn't come on a bed of fire. The devil comes and basically offers you a lot of gifts and everything like that. The Germans, the Mercedes-Benz, Siemens, or whatever, have made a decision that they're going to basically make money in China. That's fine. Go ahead and do it. But the European Union doesn't seem to understand that essentially they are never going to get what they want in China, which is commercial success, as long as they are constantly shoe-shining the CCP. In other words, it's getting better. Now, I will say it's much better than it was before. There are people who are waking up. But the problem is, again, you've got someone like Merkel, you've got some of the other folks who basically, in my mind, just have to go. In other words, this is the problem you have is these people are so invested in China. Their business structure, their supporters are basically completely invested in China financially, and they're not going to change. The EU, by its nature, will always be a lesser force in China, which is one of the great worries we have about the Biden administration. The Biden administration, multilateralism is a religion with them. So you can bet that they're going to say, we're going to approach China with the EU. Well, if you've got Trump charging at China at a 10, a force of 10, and Biden basically say at a 7, 6 or a 7, and the EU at a 3 or a 4, well, China's going to see pressure on it from a 10 from Trump down from the U.S. because the U.S. will come down to the EU. So that's the problem. The problem is the EU basically is giving China out. Your leader in Poland is not so great either. Sorry to insult anybody.
On to that, though, that was my next question. Were you disappointed to hear about the scale of expansion of China in Poland and the strategic partnership we have with them in virtually every level, from central to local government, 5G, Huawei and the telecoms infrastructure? We even sent police, local police, to train in China. What would you say to the president and the prime minister of Poland and their administration in this regard?
I think they're not reading their history books about communism, but I think the other problem they have is they just do, it's the money. It's just this, it seems like a free deal. It seems like everything's great. But when you look at the Huawei equipment, when you look at some of these deals, you almost have, it's like the modern day version of buying the old Soviet cars from the 1970s. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're just basically, Huawei is not top quality stuff. So basically, yeah, it's cheap, it's free, it gets you up and running. But we all know that it's not going to take you to the next level. And you're also going to be a supplicant of them. Now, I don't know if everybody in Poland is going to be all that excited about having all their data going back to China, but we pretty much know that's what Huawei does. I don't understand the moral position of Poland more than anything else. In other words, I get it, free money, free trade, things like that. But here's your problem. China is never going to be a huge market for you all. In other words, you don't have what China really wants in a lot of different ways. Your industries are moving forward, they're moving quickly, but essentially, China is never going to be a massive trading partner for you. So I don't understand the trade. I don't understand the trade angle. I also do not understand really the infrastructure angle either. I think interest rates are so low all over the world. If you're going to borrow money, why are you going to work with the Chinese on something? And the third part of it is, from a political angle, let me tell you, I can assure you within a year, the intrepid journalists in Poland are going to start finding the corruption that follows the Chinese everywhere they go. It's insidious. It's just insidious. I shouldn't say the Chinese Communist Party. I don't know what it is with certain leaders, and unfortunately, you guys have one right now. I don't know what it is, but they're so attracted to this basically one-stop shopping. In other words, they show up to China and they go, hey, we'll give you free financing. We'll give you a new telecom system. We'll give you cheap goods. We'll maybe buy a few things from you, and that's it. But I think what you have to do, the way I'd look at it is like, okay, your leader is making the case based on economics for China. Certainly he's not making it on moral. He's making it on economics. I think the economics don't work. In other words, when I look at it, I'm a businessman. Really, what in China? What is China going to buy from Poland, in my mind? What are they going to buy? And I don't see them buying a tremendous amount of goods from you. Maybe some agriculture. That's about it. But everything else, from machinery to expertise to anything else, I don't see them buying it. Tourism, all right, that's a little bit of money, but, you know, that's not, you don't sell your soul for that.
What would you expect Trump's administration to do now following this situation in Hong Kong with the national security law and the arrests and stuff?
Well, I think they've pretty much done everything they're going to do for now. I think they're going to keep reminding people of what's going on in Hong Kong. I know my Hong Kong friends always, I mean, my political friends in Hong Kong always want more. I think we're just so close to the election now that we're not going to see anything else major happen unless the Chinese do something. If the Chinese take a bunch of people off to China, I think we could see some other sanctions. But, you know, essentially, the Chinese are committing suicide with Hong Kong as an international city and a financial center. And I think the U.S. will reap some benefit from that in New York. But the Trump administration always, as I tell people all the time, always remember with the Trump administration, watch the policy, not what Trump says. Watch the policy. So while sometimes we are very nervous about what the president is going to say, basically, we're very happy with the policy. We have a bigger concern with the Biden administration. It looks like we're probably going to get a Biden administration, although the polls are closed. I'm not a domestic political pundit. If you get a Biden administration, I think we'll see basically an attempt to reverse things back to the Obama days. Because I think the Biden guys, they don't really want to fight with China. That's my personal view and the view of a lot of other people. And I think it'll be very disappointing. But I think the problem is the world is now waking up to China. It's the same problem I think the Polish government has. You've got your Polish elite government officials cutting these deals. And I think the man on the street in Poland, when he looks at the economics of it, he's going like, oh, all right, well, this guy made some money and that guy made some money. But overall in Poland, does it really matter that we have this deal with China? Not really. You got Ericsson across the way. Does it really matter for your telecom companies that it's Huawei and Huawei's doing what they do for infrastructure and phones 5%, 15% cheaper than Ericsson? What does that mean to somebody in Poland's daily bill? Maybe 35 cents less per person, a dollar less a month per person. What does that mean? So you're going to sell your security, you're going to sell your entire nation out to save everybody a U.S. dollar per month or a U.S. dollar per year by using Huawei? I just don't see the economics of it. But the Trump administration, if we have the Trump administration, and we'll see. Look, one of the things about Hong Kong, I will tell people, it's incorrect to say Hong Kong is the new Berlin. Berlin was outside. Believe it or not, Hong Kong is the Warsaw. It was inside the Iron Curtain, and you guys had to free yourselves. Hong Kong is the same way. Our people are going to have to find a new way, and for now a peaceful way, as hopefully as long as possible, of resistance. In other words, if you're in Hong Kong, look to Prague and look to Warsaw. Berlin had, you know, basically the U.S. Army on the other side of it or halfway through it. We don't have that in Hong Kong and never will. So the way you resist communism is there's a guy named Lech Walesa and there's a lot of Polish heroes and who we should look to because we're inside the belly of the beast. We're not on the outside, you know, waiting to be taken over. We used to be, but not anymore. That changed July 1st. Mm-hmm.
And finally, just on that note, with regards to Poland, how can our community, how can Polish people who love freedom help support Hong Kong right now?
Well, I don't like to delve into domestic politics of other nations, but I will. And what I'm saying to the Polish people is this. Look at the economics of the deal that you're cutting with China. I mean, think about it. Look at it. For Huawei, is it really worth it in your lives for a dollar a month to basically be doing business with a bunch of basically Chinese communist toadies who are probably stealing your information? In other words, because that's what at the end of the result, think about what it means to you as an individual. You know, if a man was at the end of the street and he ran a shop and he beat his wife and he beat his children, would you shop there? That's all I'm asking. Apply that same test to China. I'm not telling you to boycott Chinese goods. I'm not telling you anything else. But maybe tell your government, you know what? We don't really need you, our representatives that we voted for, to basically help these guys get to where they want to go. In other words, if you guys want to buy, I mean, look, China's got a lot of nice products. My wife's house is full of these products. You know what I'm saying? It's wonderful. But on a government-to-government level and granting them favors and things like that, why? That's my point to the Polish people. Just ask your government officials, why? You don't have to do a lot of different things, but ask why. And remember that, you know, essentially remind, you know, I think the older people, and it's wonderful to see younger folks like yourselves, but remind the older folks, you know, the older folks should remind the younger folks, we know exactly what communism is and we know exactly who communists are. Why is our government cutting a deal with these guys?
Exactly. And we, of course, ask all our viewers to also pray for Hong Kongers and for strength, because we know that, as Elmer Yuan said on our show, the biggest weapon that we have that the Chinese CCP doesn't have is God. So
hey, amen to that. We really that's exactly that. I'm too much of an American, but I'm I mean all the prayers mean so much. You wouldn't believe it. You know, and pray for my boss Jimmy Lai, please. Pray for him and pray for Cardinal Zinn. And also, to be honest with you, pray for our very solid Protestant leaders in Hong Kong, who are actually, we have some very, very solid guys who are moving forward and are stepping up, you know, on that. So anyway, well, I appreciate you having me today.
Thank you very much, Mark. Thanks for being us. And on behalf of Freedom Love and Poles, I would like to also thank you for your courage and for standing up to Chinese Communist Party, a murderous, oppressive regime, and for fighting for freedom for Hong Kong. Our television community continues the long-standing Polish tradition of fighting for your freedom and ours, so Hong Kongers and all freedom-loving people around the world can always count on our support.
Well, look, thanks so much, and God bless, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. With us was Mark Simon, the group director of Next Media and Apple Daily. Thank you for being with us. God bless for free Hong Kong. And God bless the USA and Poland. Thank you for being with us. This is Ivan Belostenko for Ichpod Pront against ITV. Till next time, God bless.